In the towns, in the different towns.
How did you know who the scabs were?
Where they were? Who they were? I remember one time when we were out on the picket lines, and we were with we used to follow them. Ouch, my arm is hurting. We used to follow them from where they were in the fields. And I remember one time we were with Wendy, early part with Wendy Gopal. And there were some of us like Susie Olguin, Tonya Bustos, Mary Estrada, myself, and we were in a little Volkswagen with Wendy Gopal. And when we'd wait for the workers to come out of the field, and then we'd each car, each picket car would go and follow so that we could go later and talk to people at their homes. And so there was one time that we went, we followed one person. We wound up in Delano, in this little store. He stopped at the store, a store out in the outskirts. And he got out of his car, and he had grape shears, and he had them like to his side right here, like sort of threatening us with the shears. So that was a little scary there. And we told him, you know, all we want to do is talk to you. We're not here to cause you any harm or nothing. We want to talk to you. But he ignored us. And the scabs, let's see, well, some of the names, somebody used to take pictures and put them in the Malcriado, and so we knew who some of them were. A lot of times we didn't really know who people were.
But I remember that there used to be some marches in the evening in some of the barrios where the scabs lived.
And people used to picket their places.
Picket their, where they were staying.
Where they were staying, uh-huh. Or they used to picket a labor contractor's home or something like that. Yeah, I never went to any of those. But I've seen pictures of it, and I've seen my brother-in-law, Victor Urandi. I saw him one time doing that. And
well, what about the... I remember once seeing you picketing a train, picketing an SP.
That was... I think that was sometime in, was probably, was it 1966? 1966, was Gene Hirsch already with us? Gene and Fred Hirsch.
No, I think she came later.
66, 67, sometime around there. I think it was 67 maybe then, because we had just been... We had been to her house. We were going to go pick at the train. We had been to her house, and because she was having a little party, a little cake and something, because it was her birthday. And so we went over there, Helen Chavez and I, Caesar also, and we went there before we went to the railroad tracks where we were going to pick at the night, because the trains were being loaded, the grapes were being loaded into the trains. And I don't know if it was grapes, because it wasn't grape season. I don't know if it was grapes that they had in cold storage and were being shipped somewhere, because I remember that it was early March, February, March of that year. And
it must have been related to the grapes, though.
It was. So what happened was that there was a train, and they would stop right there, right before it was, what was it, 9th Street, 11th? I can't remember which crossing that is. But the trucks were, the trains were parked right there, and they would load the grapes into the trains. And so we went, and then there were also trucks that were parked in front, across the street in front of a restaurant there were trucks that were loaded also with they were loading grapes into it. And so we went from the house, from Jeannie's house, we went to the tracks, which wasn't too far from there, and started picketing, started just walking around the railroad tracks, just walking, rocking around. Petra Fabella, Helen's sister, was also there. Gloria Torones was there. I know Tony Mendez and Cora were there, Cora Mendez. They were doing something with the trucks. Tony, the men. The women were all walking around. And Caesar was with us. We were walking around the tracks, and we were, I don't know if it was cold or what, but we were lighting, we lit, there were some cans there, some large cans, and we lit the cans. We set fire, but did a fire there so that we could keep our hands warm. And we would walk the trains, and then we'd stand by the things and heat our hands. And Caesar left, said he was tired and he was going home. So he left. And then we continued walking and walking around the railroad tracks in front of him. The train was coming. The train started and it was coming and coming. And we kept on walking. We weren't afraid or anything. We just kept on walking in front of it until it got to us and it stopped right there. And then the police came and they told us that what we were doing was against the law. And we continued walking. And then they went to the house on Kensington Street, 1221 Kensington, where Helen and Caesar lived. And they told Caesar what we were doing.
The police, huh?
And they went and they were told them that we were there and we did not want to move. We're stopping the train. And so Caesar came and he told us, "What are you guys doing? You know, don't you know that you can go to jail for 25 years for doing this?" And you know, so then we stopped.
Okay. Every Friday evening, as I remember, the United Farm Workers, had a Friday night meeting. Do you remember those?
Yes, uh-huh.
And you attended those meetings?
Mm-hmm. Every Friday night, looked forward to it.
Why did you look forward to it?
I don't know, but I guess because we were in the office and just doing our daily work, and so at least we could hear reports that were coming in from the different companies.
What kind of reports?
A report about what was happening out in the fields and the picket lines, and a lot of different people coming in from different places, different towns. Because it wasn't just the towns right around there or the strikers. There were people that were coming out from the different surrounding towns. And what happens is that there were people that were coming, because in the membership department, then people started more and more organizing or becoming members of the union. We used to have people in the different towns that went around with their membership applications and their receipt books, making members in the different towns. So they would come in, or they at different times would come in to the office and bring me, turn over their membership application cards and the money. So we had like Crescencio Mendoza in Fresno, Guadalupe de la Cruz in Highway City, Juan Benavente and Carlo Rossi, Jesus Marin Barrera in Porterville. We also had Ernesto Loredo, Pablo Espinosa. They all used to have their receipt books and their membership application and were making members in the different areas.
And so the Friday night meeting was the time when everyone came together. And there was entertainment at the meeting?
There was the thing. There was I know that there was Yolanda. Yolanda Barrera, that always came in, and she interpreted. And Gloria Torones used to sing all the time when she started coming in. Well, at one time she was working with me in the membership department, so yeah, so she would used to sing, and she used to sing El Águila Negra, some song that said Águila Negra, so, you know, or different other groups would sing also or play. And the teatro was, doing their acts, their different acts.
And I remember that...
We never used to like the teatro, Helen and I. No. I don't know. We just thought it was silly. Not knowing. I mean, well, I already knew, but that knew that Luis Valdez, when he came in September of 1965, he came into the office, and he was there in the membership department talking with my mother-in-law. I was there and all this. Later on, he went, him and Manuel went out drinking, and they talked about it, and Manuel mentioned, I think that you're related, you're a cousin of my wife. He told him, and then he goes, oh, what's her name? And he says, Esther. Esther Tarango. Oh, yeah, he says. And then Manuel told him, didn't they used to call you Huicho, Huichito? And then he says, yeah, that's me. He started laughing, and he says, yeah, he had been in Early Mart, but they left the Early Mart area when he was 11 years old. And they moved on to San Jose. So Luis and I are cousins.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
Well, the Octos, they were pretty slapsticky, you know.
Mm-hmm. People did enjoy them. Yeah.
I remember there was a lot of singing, a lot of the labor songs and civil rights.
Yeah, a lot of the songs that we, in fact, there was the Southern Poverty Law something, did something in Delano not too long ago, about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Marielena Chavez, Richard and Dolores' daughter, did a lot of filming and all this. Anyway, they were filming, and they reenacted the vote, the strike vote thing. And I went to that, and I told a lot of the strikers, a lot of gathered, you know, the ones that went to Casa Hernandez that day. They came to 40 Acres, and we sat out in the park, and we ate, and they had shirts so people could put on a shirt, a work shirt. And Lupe Martinez went, and he had his guitar. And I said, come on, let's sing some of the old songs. And so he brought out the songbook, and we started singing. Everybody started singing. All the old strikers started singing. It was nice. Yeah.
What about the March to Sacramento in 1966? Were you involved with that?
The March to Sacramento, I was, we walked to Richgrove. That was about the distance that we walked. We'd be at the office and then go and join them in the evening, wherever, up until Fresno, I think. Then after that, we didn't go anymore. I mean we, because it's Helen and I, Helen Chavez and I. We were in the office, stuck in the office, working. Somebody had to stay in the office. And so as long as we could, and I was the one that always drove her. So we joined them, and we walked to Richgrove, and then later on Ducor, we met them in Ducor, then later on Porterville, then, you know, to the different stops, as long as it wasn't too far.
At the evening rally.
At the evening rallies, uh-huh. Until later on, then we did join with them when they were almost going to go to reach Sacramento. I think it was Stockton, somewhere around there.
So you were part of the march when they arrived
yeah.
in Sacramento?
Yeah, we were.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Had you ever participated or seen anything like that before?
No. No, I had never seen anything like that before. I had never really done anything. I had, in fact, my first experience being out of Early Mart was the strike. I had never been anywhere, never done anything. You know, it was something that was really, I don't know, I just closed my eyes and I remember, and I enjoyed large, you know, everything that there is. And I have all these stories that I tell everyone. I remember when the Borrego, when we went to Borrego Springs during, what was it, August 66, the DiGiorgio strike, the DiGiorgio election, when Caesar asked us if we wanted to go to Borrego Springs to stop the election there, the first election we stopped. So he assigned a whole bunch of women, well, not a whole bunch of them, about six of us. And Manuel Sanchez, Fats, took us in a station wagon. And we went to Borrego Springs. And our job was to stop the election, to talk to the workers and have them not vote in that election because it was a crooked election. And so Petra Fabella, Helen Chavez, myself, Vera Oropesa, Ruth Trujillo and Alice Tapia went with Fats. Then later on, Teddy, Helen's sister, I don't remember what her last name, Teddy Fabella, she joined us there. She used to be a four lady, but she joined us and she helped us there at the, we would meet at Anza Park afterwards. But during the time that we were there, we were only there a couple of days, and we stayed at, there's a little motel right in the desert there somewhere that Henry Santisteban, and I don't remember where he used to work with. Henry Santisteban was the one that rented the motel. And so we were out on the, had a swimming pool, so we were having the time of our lives there in the swimming pool. I remember Helen, Petra put on a bathing suit. Should I say this? She put on a bathing suit that was too large for her. And so she'd get in the water and the bathing suit would blow all up. And esta Vera Oropesa, she was a little chubby, she put on a tight bathing suit. So then Petra would go up on the slide. There was a slide and she would slide down and then she'd play like she was drowning. And so then someone would jump in to save her, one of the other women. It was crazy. And Caesar was over there on the outside a room where they stayed. There was one phone and right on the outside of the bedroom where they were staying, him and Helen. And that's where he would be calling till all hours. And it'd be 3 o'clock in the morning. He'd say, "It's time to go to sleep, girls. It's time to go to sleep. We have to get up early in the morning." And we were out there having our fun.
Well, Borrego Springs is hundreds of miles away from Delano.
Yeah.
That must have been quite a trip for you.
Yeah, it was. And so, but always special assignments that we had that Caesar would assign us.
Did you have any boycott special assignments?
I never went on boycott. Well, boycott assignments, yes, to go with Los Angeles and all that, you know, but I was never assigned to go to another city. Well, I was, actually. We were sent to Oregon, Mayel and I, but I refused to go. I guess I was the only one that used to refuse to do, you know, what I didn't want to do. Remember, he always used to push me, "You can do this, you can do that." And I said, "No, I can't do that. I can't. How can I do that, Caesar?"
You mean Caesar was pushing you?
Caesar pushed me. Caesar always said, "You can do it. You can do this, you can do that." And so he would always want to assign me different things. And I never wanted to because I'd say, you know, "I don't have an education. I can't do this. I can't do that." And I did it.